everyone's not on the same page in Canada yet about the use of medical cannabis, but when you see a patient that's been taking long-term opioids come off of that prescription, then I definitely know that there's a benefit to that patient and then to our healthcare system overall.
This is the Cannabis Enigma, cutting through the smoke to have informed, serious conversations for regular people.
Hi, I'm your host, Varda Bachrach.
And I'm Michael Schaefer-Omerman.
We hear a lot about the way that people think about medical cannabis is changing. And most of the time we hear about this change coming from the patients. But actually, doctors have also come a long way in recent years.
Right. When we talk about the medical establishment, that tends to remove doctors from the story. And there's a lot about medical cannabis that really flips the way that doctors have been taught to think.
Why is that?
Well, first off, it's a substance that was treated as an illegal drug for decades, and all of a sudden it's a legitimate medical treatment. That means that the research and processes and all the documentation that they usually get with other medicines just doesn't exist. But most interesting to me is that our understanding of the body system that cannabis interacts with, the endocannabinoid system, is so new that a lot of doctors weren't actually taught about it.
I suppose for doctors that have left medical system having not been taught about this endocannabinoid system in the human body and suddenly being confronted with it, possibly even from patients or the media, is going to be at least confusing.
Exactly. And that's actually exactly what happened with Dr. Tiffany Keenan, who we're speaking with on this episode. I met Dr. Keenan at a medical cannabis conference in Tel Aviv in September 2019. And she traveled a pretty long way to learn about a lot of these things.
Where'd she come from?
Dr. Keenan is an emergency medicine doctor from a remote town in New Brunswick, Canada, where she also has a private practice. We talked about how she's now recommending medical cannabis to patients suffering from chronic pain and how she hopes it can be used to address everything from the opioid crisis to obesity and diabetes and even potential applications in the emergency room.
Let's listen to the interview.
What was your journey as a doctor coming to a place where you began prescribing cannabis to patients and sort of, what was your journey coming to that?
Well, a few years ago, I wouldn't be having this conversation with you because I thought that if people wanted to smoke cannabis, they could go and buy it. But about a year and a half ago, I was watching a documentary series on television. And during that documentary, there were many people telling their stories of how medical cannabis had changed their lives. And I'm very much holistically based in my practice. I focus on nutrition, you know, mind, body, spirit, trying to really use a lot of plant-based medicines when I can. And I said, well, this is quite interesting that this medical cannabis now is out there. It's being used. It has been, you know, physicians have been prescribing it in Canada for over 12 years. And then I said, well, it's going to be legalized in our country in October. So maybe I need to learn a little bit more about it. So I contacted some of our local, our licensed producers of medical cannabis, and I had one of them sit down with me and discuss, you know, the basic indications of how physicians are using medical cannabis, and because patients were starting to ask me if they could get prescriptions. So basically, I'd watched the documentary, started to do some of my own basic research, and then because of patient demand, I began prescribing medical cannabis.
For what types of conditions and, you know?
So initially, it was for chronic pain. And so, and even now, that's the majority of my patients. They're generally older, like 50 age and up. They're coming for oils is what they want to use. Patients generally don't want to smoke it. They want something that's not going to make them high. So the majority of what I use with my patients even now is still CBD-based preparations. And then things have just kind of started to grow. I think, you know, in areas, you know, especially in smaller towns, the word kind of gets out that people are getting relief from this, and then they tell their friends and so on and so on. And so my practice has started to grow, which is the reason I'm going to be expanding my practice now.
And how do you see it as a treatment? You know, compared to other options that are available to you that you're able to prescribe, that you were able to prescribe in the past? What are the benefits that have that you're seeing that are making you, you know, embrace this?
Low side effect profile. So that's really important. You know, so many times with opioid medications in particular, you know, people have a lot of side effects, the sleepiness, the dizziness, constipation, just not feeling well. And what I've been so encouraged by is that the patients, when they start even just using CBD-based preparations, they're able to come off of many times their opioids. And, you know, so, you know, sometimes I wonder, you know, other physicians, everyone's not on the same page in Canada yet about the use of medical cannabis. But when you see a patient that's been taking long-term opioids come off of that prescription, then I definitely know that there's a benefit to that patient and then to our healthcare system overall, you know, in terms of cost. You know, people are not on a lot of higher dose, more expensive preparations. So I see it for those. So the pain, it's low side effect profile. And that I can use it across a wide range of age groups. You know, I do have a few children right now that I'm using for autism. Again, these were parents that came to me, and I'm able to give them, you know, some medical knowledge to instruct them as to how they can use this for their children. And so far with my two patients, they're getting good results with their children as well.
How do you feel about the, it's a little bit of a wild west of, I don't want to say industry, but of a world, you know, in relation to the way that other medications and medical treatments are, the process that they go through and approvals and trials, this cannabis doesn't really have a lot of that behind it. Does that provide challenges or opportunities even?
I guess a little bit of both. You know, first when I look at it, you know, we have new drugs. They need to be approved because they're synthetic substances that were created in a lab. Cannabis has been growing for thousands of years. It's always been there. It's not a new thing. It's just a new way that we're approaching it for a medical use. So you're right. Are we going backwards sometimes to say that we need the studies to show there's benefit? It's been documented that there's been benefit for conditions for thousands of years, but now we're medicalizing it. And so, yes, it does create controversy because many physicians are looking for a randomized controlled trial to show what this does versus, you know, drug X does versus placebo. And it's becoming much more difficult to do that with, you know, medical cannabis, you know, in human type experiments. And also there is the topic of, it is a plant. How do we standardize a plant? And I'm learning so much here at CanX, you know, just not really knowing the basic science of the plant itself and how it can be changed. So I think we have a lot of safety in knowing that there is something that's been around for, you know, thousands of years, but now we have to really look at those specific components to know the specific indications for those medical conditions.
I wanted to just jump back to something you said in the previous question about helping patients get off of opioids and other painkillers that, you know, has effectively led to one of the biggest health crises in North America in recent years. Do you see more potential, like, for that to be used to help mitigate or even prevent, you know, addiction, and, you know, either preventatively by stopping people from having to take these medications in the first place, or, you know, there's even talk, been quite a bit of talk here at the conference about using it to help people get off of those medications after addiction has already become a problem. Your thoughts?
Oh, super excited on that. I live in my areas, has a lot of problems with substance abuse, opioid abuse, tons of people that are on methadone and Suboxone, which are replacements for addiction. One of my key goals of coming to the conference was to learn more about that. I have one patient right now who I am using medical cannabis. He's on methadone. He's on a weaning dose of methadone, and he wants this to help in his replacement. And, you know, I'd been reading some reports from physicians that are using it in North America to do just that. And many physicians are able to get their patients off over 50% of their opioids and replacement. huge potential. You know, I think that's one very big aspect of the market. And also from a physician standpoint, to think that we can get people off these long-term chronic, you know, opioid replacements by using medical cannabis. There's so much stigma with like methadone and Suboxone, the replacements. It really, I think it affects the quality of life of people because they still often have to go to pharmacies on a regular basis to get their dose of the medications. We still have a lot of reluctance, though, in Canada to get patients off of these. You know, when opioid replacements were used, they were meant to be for a 30-day protocol. Patients get weaned off of it to help with the withdrawal symptoms, but now people are on these medications for years and years. So I'm really hoping that this is going to be one aspect of medical cannabis that's going to prove to be more effective. And I know when I go home, I'm going to use this more and more with my patients. The other thing that I'm really interested with medical cannabis is weight loss. So I studied as a nutrition in my background, and I do a lot of work with obesity medicine. And what I've had over the past couple of months, I've had several individuals that come in and they volunteer to me, "Doctor, by the way, I lost weight when I was using medical cannabis." And they were on just CBD-based preparations. And after the conference, we see a few other cases that we're seeing that weight loss can be a side effect. And I think even more than our opioid crisis is our obesity epidemic. So if there's methods that we can find out what is that trigger point for obesity, or the weight loss, that's kind of what is that role? And I was at an obesity conference in Nashville last October, and one of the presenters got up and spoke about, you know, the receptors that we have for our endocannabinoid system and how that's what they're looking at, is kind of having blockers that can block and cause people to lose weight in the end. So I think that's a huge aspect that can be increased. Because opioids are here, and it is a huge problem, but, you know, obesity, it's an epidemic in North America, 35% plus, and with it comes diabetes. And I think diabetes is the one condition that's really going to bankrupt our healthcare system, especially in Canada. You know, we have a fully funded healthcare system, and the cost of treating diabetes are rising exponentially. So if we can find some methods that are helping to improve that, and I've been encouraged. One of the doctors today was discussing the program that they're doing with diabetes here in Israel, and I've actually messaged him to hear a bit more information about that. So I think there's a lot more aspects of medical cannabis that can be of benefit even beyond the pain. So we have autism, obesity, opioid reduction, and it's a pretty exciting field to be in. I'd like to say I'm at the ground level, but I'm not, because the plant's been here for so many thousands of years, but to see the field, how it starts to develop.
Absolutely. My last question is, you know, you're working in emergency medicine. Do you see any applications in that field? My understanding is that as far as pain management goes, it tends to lean more toward chronic pain and less toward acute pain. But has your increased interest and use, you know, as prescribing of cannabis, has that affected your emergency practice as well?
The big role in emergency, so I'll bring it up to patients, especially if there's a cancer patient or a pain patient that may be in, especially, and if it's a chronic pain patient, they're already on a lot of opioids and they're still telling me they're not getting relief. But from an ER standpoint, traumatic brain injury. I see a lot of people with concussion, and I was really interested in a talk today by Dr. Thurwell from Canada. She's done a lot of work on PTSD, but also traumatic brain injury, because we see so many concussions in the ER department. And I advocate for patients, like informing them that of all the stress that their brain is undergoing, that things that they need to watch out for, but we don't have a lot of treatment that we can give patients that have had a concussion. And looking at some of the early evidence that's there now, and when we look at the evidence, even just in animal models, of what it can do, the neuroprotective effect it can have on the brain. So I will be discussing the possibility of benefit for patients that come into my ER for the use of CBD after they've had a concussion. And when I see the long-term consequences, I think if we can get patients early on, when the brain is just undergoing that early on damage, I know that we can have greater long-term outcome for those patients. The other thoughts I've had for it is in acute anxiety. You know, when they come into the ER department now, you know, many people come and they're having a panic attack. So we'll give them maybe an Ativan or some type of benzodiazepine for them to relax. And I've really wondered about is there a way if we had something that we could give them, whether it was an oil or a vaped preparation that would work really quickly, how that would take effect in the ER department? It could be an interesting study. I'm not sure what work's been done acutely in the ER department, but we'll see. But I definitely see many potential benefits and roles for sure.
And one actual last question. Is there something that you've learned over the past few years or here at this conference that you wish you had been taught or told as a physician, you know, earlier in your career? Or
Well, just to learn about the endocannabinoid system. And really, even as of a few years ago, I'm just learning this. And in Canada now, even though the medical product is legalized, there's still many physicians that are uninformed that we have this amazing system that has so many receptors all throughout our body with this great potential to help. We know about our sympathetics and our parasympathetics and many of our other endocrine systems, but the endocannabinoid system is really one that we don't seem to be as well educated about. So that would be the one word that I know I want to spread with my colleagues when I go back home again.
Thank you, Dr. Keenan.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I'm Varda Bakra. This episode was produced and edited by Michael Schaefer Omerman with technical assistance from Yoav Mordor. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit subscribe and leave us a rating or review on iTunes. And check back for new episodes every 2 weeks.